Truth.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sun down shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition,
well,
my condition was in.
Okay. I actually like that. I mean, you know, I wasn't here last night, and long story short, Sunday night I had to go back to the hospital at 12:30 at night, and my bladder was completely full. Absolutely nothing was coming out of it for 7 hours plus. And I got there, and I was doing okay. They took temperature, heart pressure, all this garbage they go put you through. And then, of course, once that's done and they say, okay, you don't have COVID, they make you sit down. I said, I can't sit. And I stood up and I leaned against a wall. And within the amount of time, a lot of people there in the ER. And I went up to the guy who I've gotten to know, Wayne, fairly well, and said, I got to tell you something, pal, but I know there's folks that are here before me. But you've got to get me in because I am not in good shape and I am completely blocked. I can't pee. I can't poop. I can't nothing. You've had a guy, a homeless guy, who's been harboring the bathroom for an hour and a half, and you better send the security people in there to get him out. And they spent the next hour trying to get the guy out, and he just refused to leave. I don't know what they did. And I sat there, and all of a sudden, the pain was so excruciating from the bladder. And I started shaking. I mean, bad. My eyes started going totally out of focus. I was seeing flashing lights. I all of a sudden was soaking wet from perspiration. And, I mean, I'd been very warm because they actually had the temperature turned on, the heater on that night. And, so I, you know, all of a sudden I'm freezing cold and I'm soaking wet, and they took me in. At one point I heard the guy get on the phone and get a hold of Kimberly in the back and say, I need to get a room ready for Mr. Bennett now. And he's taking care of me. He's a nurse, but he's the guy that basically signs everybody in for ER. No, I didn't take the ambulance in. The ambulance is just too damn expensive, and it's insane. But I know that walking into ER is going to be a long wait. So we got in there, and they did their thing. So that's why I'm here tonight. I just stopped in to see what condition my condition was in. Thank you, Michael. That was a perfect piece of music to open with tonight. Jeff Bennett here, The Edge of Darkness. And, you know, we've had all these people doing this renovation work on the house, and they did a pretty decent job with it, and nothing's ever perfect. I mean, I'm such a stickler for a degree of perfection when it comes to painting and things like that. And there's some things I'm not overjoyed with, but I'm just not going to worry about it. Relatively minor issues. And but now there's cleanup to do, and of course it's now Tuesday night, and tomorrow night I'll be starting the cooking, the preparations, and in the kitchen with my granddaughter, my eldest, my Tater. And there'll be certain things I won't be doing, which will be picking up the turkey and all that kind of stuff. But it is interesting. I continue to watch. To some degree, I've tried to stay off my computer as much as possible. I'm still angry and fed up with all the things I see going on. I read a piece today, and I cannot think of the headline, but Apparently, there's been a freeing up of some of our oil, which has been in storage, and yet, even with that announcement, gas prices went up again today. When is this crap ever going to end? You know, I guess to some degree we can thank Joey and his handlers for the madness that's about to unfold. The OSHA mandate that's going to cover more than 80 million American workers has been officially put on hold. Biden's other mandates are still in effect. All of this means the vast numbers of patriotic young Americans are about to be kicked out of the military. Well, that's because it's all going to fruitcake-itis, you know. So we got to hope that Russia and China don't decide to suddenly make some big moves after our military is ruthlessly gutted. Countless numbers of federal employees about to be forced out of their jobs as well, and that includes airport security screeners. So even if you plan on traveling by air during Thanksgiving week and Christmas, you could be potentially facing some enormous delays. Isn't it marvelous? Huh? Yeah, it's just cute. Cute as can be. Well, then, of course, we've got Congress facilitating what they call catastrophic risk. They've allowing federally insured banks to be owned by Wall Street's trading houses. And this is something we've known about for years. Because banking regulators in the U.S. have been reading this same kind of assessment of catastrophic risk within the mega banks on Wall Street since the financial crisis of '08. And they've done absolutely nothing meaningful to rein it all in. Even more striking, banking regulators in Congress continue to allow the majority of the largest trading houses on Wall Street to continue to own federally insured deposit-taking banks where the taxpayer is going to be on the hook for bailouts if the banks blow themselves up. Then the next question, of course, becomes, is the Fed making a big mistake? I mean, big market risk ahead. You know, gold is now looking at 1900. It's come back down a little bit. You know, it's been real interesting to watch the last couple of days. Gold has dropped back down below 1700 at 1790. Silver's sitting at 2363. It's up a bit. It's off a bit. Platinum up $3 today at 967. Palladium down 8 at 1802. Rhodium flat at 12.850. Yesterday it was at 13,100 an ounce. And our government has effectively defaulted on its obligations 4 times in history. You understand that? The government defaults, but they come back to us to get it. Huh. You know, there's all this discussion with crypto and everything else about system going cashless. It's not as easy as it seems. The fact that various electronic money transfers are taking place does not mean that we do not require cash any longer. On the contrary, the fact that cash exists enables those transfers to take place. And I believe there'll still be a way to handle transfers. And they're going to be able to just earmark it. Be so damn careful. Typically on Wednesdays, we do health-related programs. We always open with the music of Artie Shaw and close with the same piece of music by Ella Fitzgerald. And I actually came across something else on YouTube called Artie Shaw's Greatest Hits. For those of you who may enjoy that kind of music, you go to Sierra Madre PreciousMetals.com. Under yesterday's Double Eagle headlines, November 22nd, a very special date in history, which we're going to be talking about later in the program. We posted the video, the music of Artie Shaw. You'll enjoy it. It's the greatest hits. So, Fred, if you're out there, drop in on the website and enjoy the tunes. You know, I was looking over some of the websites the other day that I typically try to look at when I'm posting financial headlines and news. And I went to Wolf Street, and he's got a really interesting piece called The Wolf Street F-150 XLT and Camry LE Price Index, model year 2022. He said this is the craziest situation he has ever seen. When trucks are advertised at $10,000 over their MSRP, that's manufacturer's suggested retail price. What does it mean? Interesting piece to take a look at. Oh, this should be a really good one for my sister-in-law, who's a... Oh, God. Jesus. I met her first, and she and I decided we didn't like each other. Married her sister. Illinois pension shortfall has now surpassed $500 billion. The average debt burden is now $110,000 per household in Illinois. In order for the Illinois pension just to break even, to get enough money in there to be able to cover all the Illinois pensioners, whether they're teachers or firemen or policemen or whatever they happen to be. Oh, let's not forget the politicians. Every single household in Illinois would have to come up with $110,000 just to cover that. It's amazing. To cover government worker retirement debts. Another interesting headline. Central banks will be forced to revalue gold upwards to make it look like they're still in charge, even if gold forces their hand. In this nation, we face money problems. Guilt. Shame. Other lies. You know, something about suffering from money problems that bring up feelings of guilt and shame. Sometimes those feelings are self-inflicted. Other times they're caused by other people, whether intentionally or accidentally. Nearly always guilt and shame are built on lies that our brain is telling us. Except I fear that in this nation today we're suffering more from the brain drain. But understand that not all of this is true of every single person who has had financial difficulties, of course. All of our psyches are different. Poverty and money problems are universal dilemmas that, well, they can happen to anyone. And that's the brutal truth that most folks don't want to believe. Financial distress, and I think many of you know this, is accompanied by guilt, shame, and all sorts of other lies. Some things to read and consider. I'm going to do something a little unusual for this time of the night. And we're going to get on to some of our subject matter. On our website, Sierra Madre PreciousMetals.com, and if you happen to be on RBN, you can go to their site and click on our little banner ad, which is a painting of Humphrey Bogart, Sierra Madre, you know. We've got a couple of interesting offerings that are available both in gold and silver. And I still have access to the British half sovereigns, the gold pieces, at $267 per coin. And pretty much we got to do at least a bare minimum of 5 coins, which is not a lot. Down on the silver side, I do have something listed, but something else came into my possession today. We posted some Buffalo 1-ounce silver rounds the other day at $28.63 a piece. That's $572.60 per roll of 20. But there's only like 6 rolls available, roughly, and just under 6 rolls. And if you're interested in those, you need to get a hold of me because there's no waiting for these. Those will be arriving here on Friday, and there's not a lot of them. I've got a client who's doing some changing and exchanging a little bit of silver for some gold. And if you're looking to pick up some silver, these will be very fast delivery. You know, you want one roll? Call and order one roll. Right? Send me a text on the phone, 602-799-8214. You can also send me an email. Leaving a message, a voice message on my phone doesn't always work. There's a little issue with my phone that caused me grief and aggravation. Now, here's something else. I also have in receipt today, and I haven't even opened the box yet. My wife picked it up from the post office. I actually was waiting for a check from a client that did not show up today. But I've got some Morgan silver dollars. And, you know, if you have an interest in those, you know, they have a little bit less silver in them. But from a historic standpoint and a size standpoint, they're a little bit bigger and some privacy elements to them, et cetera, et cetera. And I will make those available for the same cost, $28.63 per coin at $572.60 per roll of 20 of the Morgan dollars. And I don't know what my limitations are. So if you're interested in those, hey, you might want to pick up a roll of the Morgans and a roll of the silver rounds. But go ahead and read on through that. The Morgan dollars are not listed at present. They are not reproductions. They are real Morgan dollars. They are circulated. So they've certainly got some wear and tear, but those that I've seen from this client in the past are all completely legible and readable and et cetera, et cetera. Also, do take a look at the complete description, et cetera, of the British half sovereigns. It's a marvelous coin that weighs more than a 1/10 ounce American eagle, and it is worth every penny of it. Take advantage. 602-799-8214. I know it's a holiday week coming up. Well, coming up, it's already here. You know, we like to talk about gold and silver, and of course you start reading Wall Street people, oh, no, no, just ignore that stuff. Don't waste your time with that, blah, 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 blah. Those who come to Kettle Marine with a decision to purchase gold and silver, I believe the most of them understand they are invested. They're not investing necessarily for the purpose of growth, although we're not going to complain about it. They're investing and purchasing gold for the reasons of insurance. Ensuring that they will have a form of monetary exchange that will be barterable and tradable at any time for anything. And that's very important. And we've got to understand that by dismissing gold in the past has actually led to some very hard lessons. Back in December of 1997, the well-known Financial Times ran a now famous article entitled Death of Gold. And in it, the author Kenneth Gooding claimed that as an investment, gold is a goner. Now, the crisis of the past 10 years, the 1987 stock market crash, the Gulf War, Asia's financial meltdown, had not resulted in higher demand as one might have expected. But gold, according to him, had become nothing more than a mere metal and a bad investment. That was his conclusion. But as it happened, reports of gold's death were greatly exaggerated. And the next decade saw the precious metal steadily rise in price, eventually hitting a, at that time, record of $1,921 an ounce in August of 2011. That was about a 580% gain from the time when the Financial Times had run gold's obituary. So let's fast forward to today. We hear the same gloomy prognosis being made about the barbarous relic, often by people who least understand it. And just as Gooding was proven wrong, today's doomsayers are going to end up with egg on their face. We take a look at some of the figures from like last week. Gold performed as expected, rising 2.56%, followed a monster consumer price index report, which at that time showed inflation skyrocketing at 6.2% in October compared to last year. And after advancing for a seventh straight trading day on Friday, its longest winning streak since May, the yellow metal broke out of its downward trend going back to August of 2020 when it hit its all-time high of $2,073 an ounce. That was August a year ago. Now, we can look at the charts. We can look at the ups and the downs, et cetera, et cetera, and we can see the darn thing pop right up. But as I've continued to try to emphasize to all of you, you cannot expect to get rich investing in gold. It's not Tesla stock. It's not Bitcoin. But I believe it should be held as a hedge against poor monetary and fiscal policy. And that, my friends, is what we are facing. And this is why precisely nearly every single central bank on the planet has gold on their balance sheet. The difference is they hold the gold. They're holding real stuff. They're not investing in the paper. My God, they know better. They're the biggest criminals there are. So now we talk about balance sheets. We've got to understand the Federal Reserve's asset purchases continue to rise to unprecedented levels. And despite Jerome Powell, who got renominated by Joey, another dummy, despite Powell's earlier announcement that the bank would begin tapering this month, according to Bloomberg, official holdings now stand at a record $8.58 trillion, about a third of U.S. gross domestic product. Yeah. Abramowitz said the Fed's balance sheet is still rising to new all-time highs, now at $8.58 trillion. But it is rising at a slower pace, she says. So all of this, as well as blistering inflation, have prompted buyers to gobble up American Eagle gold coins at a healthy clip this year. Boy, they're paying up the wazoo. But why just stop at American Gold Eagle? Why not Canadian Maple Leafs and South African Krugerrands or Vienna Philharmonics? Nothing wrong with them. Not a damn one of them. According to the World Gold Council, by the way, they claim that in 2021, coin sales of the U.S. Mint have totaled more than 1 million ounces through the end of October. The greatest number since 2010. And sales are on track to be the best in over two decades. All of that according to the World Gold Council. So I start looking at the charts as it relates strictly to the U.S. Mint gold coin demand. Unbelievable. The biggest year would have been in probably 1999. It was. Nothing's ever come close. Of course, we didn't have American gold coins being minted in 1999. Oh, yes, we did. Yeah, we did. Yeah, they began minting the Eagle in what, 86, 87? But 99 was the pivotal year. It's not come anywhere near it since. Over 2 million ounces that year. Here we sit at 2021. A little over 1 million ounces. You know, for over a year, our author has been raising questions about the accuracy of the CPI in measuring inflation. I agree with his inquiry because it's all bogus. I believe that consumer prices, he says, are up much higher than is being reported by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Consider used vehicle prices. Oh, my God, this has been insane. After dipping in July and August, prices increased 38% year over year in October for a used car. That was according to Manheim data. And that was the first October in Manheim's data collection, which goes back to 1997, to see a non-seasonally adjusted price increase. When's the last time you went out looking for a used car? I bought one about 4 or 5 months ago, and I wish I hadn't bought it. There's nothing wrong with the car. It's just, it's too modern. It's got too much computerized junk. It's a 2013 Hyundai. I can't think which model. Supposedly eco-friendly, with much better fuel. Forget it. It's a four-cylinder. It's got no guts, no power to it at all, without tromping on the gas. But the fact of the matter is that I get better gas mileage with my 2003 Nissan Pathfinder with just about 216,000 miles on it. So we start looking at all these numbers. We could start looking at the alternative inflation data, which is on shadow government statistics. They're maintained by economist John Williams. Williams compares the official CPI to inflation for today as if it were calculated using the methodology from 1980, which basically will show us that inflation is closer to 14% right now, well above this 6.2% crap being done. But you've got to remember the things that they remove from the inflation, things like food, gasoline, and, you know, stuff like that. Very interesting, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Interesting stuff to watch. And so, my friends, with inflation sitting at approximately a 30-year high, I believe it's only rational and wise to have gold in our portfolios. 10%, 20%, maybe 5% in bars, coin. This guy starts talking about jewelry. But then he starts talking about mining stock, and that, you see, begins to ruin much of the things he's been talking about. I would have 10 to 20% of my liquid assets in gold that is in my possession. Something that's in a... Because jewelry can get you into trouble. You got 14 carat, you got 18, you got 22, you got... And then you got forgeries. They're gold-plated. Be careful with that stuff. If I can be of help with your needs for gold, for silver... We've actually put a couple of interesting offers out here tonight. Go take a look at them. Let's see what we can do. I don't want you to have to wait for product for 2 months. And there's a lot of stuff that you're going to have to wait 2 months for, depending upon the size of what you're purchasing, how much you're willing to spend. These are the things we're facing. Hang on a second. Okay. That's the note for Michael. Thanks. Some of the other things we'll take a look at. You know, there's other articles. The one I just shared with you from Frank Holmes over at U.S. Global Investors. Obviously, they sell no different than I do. There is another article that was dated just weeks ago, it was the same guy. This was posted originally on November the 12th. Reports of gold's death are greatly exaggerated. That's basically the same article I just shared with you. The guy's published under two different names. Gobble, gobble, gobble. How exciting. So we got to be careful with stuff like this. Use your common sense. Do what you can afford. Don't get taken to the cleaners. And, you know, we'll do our best. We try to do things as quickly as we can. And, you know, what do we got here for a date? What is the date? 21. I've lost track. What is it? Tuesday? All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Let's make a Ford and a Chevy. It'll still last 10 years like the show. Best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Some people say I'm a no-count, others say I'm no good, but I'm just a natural-born traveling man, doing what I think I should, oh yeah, doing what I think I should. And I don't give a damn about a greenback, a dollar, spend it fast as I can, or a wailing song and a good guitar. The only things that I understand, oh boy, the only things that I understand.
When I was a little baby, my mama said, hey son, travel where you will and grow to be a man, and sing what must be sung, oh boy,
sing what must be sung. And I don't give a damn about a greenback, a dollar. Spend it fast as I can. For a wailing song.
You have to.
A good guitar, the only thing that I
you have to spend it as fast as you can, because it's not going to have any value left anymore. It won't be long. Welcome back. Every once in a while, I will come across an archival piece that I'd written, and it's sometimes I publish them, sometimes I don't. One I came across a couple of days ago that I'd written back in May 13th of 2002, entitled Sex, drugs, guns, and rock and roll. In a roundabout way, I guess it's a leftover saying from the 60s. Well, at least the sex, guns, and rock and roll part was. It tends to get people's attention. But unfortunately, they're not the only things left over from the decade of peace and love. During that decade, we saw the birth of free love, forgetting that with everything, there's a price to pay. Our nation has become steeped in moral decay as the epidemic of AIDS spread worldwide. And of course, now we've got the deceit of COVID. Of course, there are those who said back then that AIDS was a virus developed in the U.S. Others say it was caused by monkeys. Still others who believe it was caused by the rampant spread of deviant sexual behavior. Does any of it really matter at this point what the cause was? Because as a nation, we, the people of the United States of America, never seem to heed the lessons of history. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah set the stage so long ago, and yet today, anything seems to go in America. And we as a society, my friends, have turned to stone. Our schools have become proving grounds for alternative sex education classes. Our children are being taught to accept anything which is considered outside the norm. Homosexuality is now openly being taught in the government-run fool system, sanctioned, promoted by administrations who got their education during that same tumultuous decade. All the while, parents sit at home and do nothing. I guess their parents had taken too many drugs, thereby transferring the dead brain cells to their children. But what about the gun part? I mean, what does that have to do with the 60s? I remember the Kennedys and Martin Luther King, Oswald, Saran, Kent State. Same liberal dope smokers, inhalers or not, are now running the zoo, which we call Congress. The same dope smokers who've been reinventing the education system so that we can staff all schools with special child psychologists, who liberally dispense Ritalin and Prozac to our troubled youth. Remember Columbine High School and the others? These socialist leaders and educators must have inhaled a lot because they want to disarm America. And they'll go to any length to reinterpret the Constitution and the Bill of Rights so as to achieve their goals, the communist goals. And so the sheep will go along without any question. But what about rock and roll, man? Other than being 1930s slang for fornication. G.W. Bush one time brought the likes of Bono and Ozzy Osbourne to the White House. Oh, Clinton did it too. Bush thinks about it. Of course, Nixon did bring Elvis, remember? But what are these characters thinking about? Future votes? From some of our AIDS-infected, dope-smoking homosexual youth? What a fantasy. Oh, let me see. What else? Oh, yeah, we still don't have the guts to tell Israel to get off the dime. They've proven to be amongst the biggest mooches in our history. We don't have the guts to tell them to stand on their own two feet and deal with the problems which they caused to begin with. We had a retired Admiral Thomas Moore, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, speaking of Israel. What are you doing? Get out. Go on. Now my dog decides to come in here because somebody left the damn gate open. So Moore starts speaking of Israel, and he says, I've never seen a president, I don't care who he is, stand up to them. They always get what they want, meaning Israel. If the American people understood what grip those people have on our government, they would rise up in arms. Maybe that's the reason they want our guns. Remember the USS Liberty? At what cost, Israel? Well, beyond all of that, we watch daily a government going awry, my friends, steeped in corruption. And as we stated at the beginning of this commentary, nothing is free. There is a price to pay for everything. The sins of our mothers and fathers are coming home to roost due to the apathy of the American people, sheeple. Do you realize what I've just shared with you? It was written by me almost 20 years ago. That's amazing to me. Absolutely. May of 2002. I could have written it today. Changed a couple names, added a couple different presidents' names in there, etc., etc. Talking about what's being taught with homosexuality and all this kind of business in the schools today. And now people are paying attention. But we wrote it about it 20 freaking years ago. We're in deep shit. We really are, my friends. We are in very deep, deep trouble. We, as many of you know, have not been updating our various websites as much as I would like. I'm several days past doing some updates to Dr. Kelly's site. We have a weekly contribution by a doctor. And there's just so much stuff going on. I run out of time. I get physically drained and worn out. I have probably been physically overdoing things recently. Partially because I can't just lay down and sleep all day long. History. There's much about history that we learn little from. I am amazed at what time of the year it is. I was talking to some people yesterday and asked them if they knew what yesterday's date was. Nobody knew what I was talking about. No one. Nowhere did I see any reference to it other than on Facebook, interestingly enough. But I wasn't checking out and scoping out all the news stuff. I'm going to close tonight's program with something I recorded many years ago. It's something I wrote even longer. I think I wrote it back in 1995. I eventually recorded it. I re-recorded it, I think, in maybe 2010, maybe earlier, probably earlier. But I only have a copy of the recording I did in 2010. Then we're going to close our program tonight with, in effect, a memorial to what yesterday's date was about. Yes, there's some history I shared about what took place in that given year. But most of it's my own personal gut feelings, how things affected me, how things affected my family, how so many things have affected the direction this nation has taken. And when I originally wrote it, and I no longer have a copy of the written transcript, I've lost it somehow. Maybe it's here in my records, I just don't know. I'd have to go through folder after folder looking, and I wish I could find it. In some respects, it was dedicated to my brothers. But I think in other respect, it was all dedicated to what America once was. People still want to destroy the memory of so much that's happened. You know, that governor, what's his name, or mayor, whatever his name is, in New York, is getting ready to leave office. And today, they tore down the statue of Thomas Jefferson. New York City. What the hell's going on, people? This entire nation is being destroyed. Our history. A nation cannot survive treason from within. And that is what's taking place.
Ever elected president, and his youthful exuberance gave the nation a contagious spirit of freshness and vitality. From the moment he delivered his stirring inaugural address on a bright, cold January day in 1961, John F. Kennedy became an icon in the romantic imagination of the American people. He was a man in the prime of life when he traveled to Dallas, Texas in November 1963 on a routine political fence-mending mission to help shore up his chances for re-election as president the following year. At about 12:30 on the afternoon of November 22nd, he was riding in an open convertible with his wife through downtown Dallas, waving to cheering crowds, when the unthinkable occurred, an unforgettable event that would haunt and define the turbulent decade to come.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in as we're talking here. President Kennedy, according to the Associated Press, and Texas Governor John Connally were shot from ambush today in Dallas, Texas, and it is not known whether either Mr. Kennedy or Governor Connally were killed. Both Mrs. Kennedy...
We're canceling all regular formats during this emergency. All regular formats canceled. We'll continue to bring you news and bulletins. No commercial formats.
Here's other information, Justin, from the correspondents traveling with the presidential party. It says President Kennedy apparently was shot in the head. The president...
An important bulletin. President Kennedy was given blood transfusions just a few moments ago at Parkland Hospital in an effort to save his life.
While most Americans were not at home in front of their televisions that fateful Friday afternoon, CBS newsman Walter Cronkite earned his place in television history with a broadcast interruption that has become inextricably attached to the memory of that horrible event. At 2:38 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, his voice cracking, he delivered the shocking news.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital.
John F. Kennedy was mortally wounded by shots fired from a high-powered rifle. He died within an hour. Over the course of the next 4 days, network television made the unprecedented decision to suspend all other programming to inform and unite a nation in its collective mourning.
Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy and her daughter, Caroline, are now going forward to the casket. Some people are in tears.
When John Kennedy died, the optimistic spirit of the new frontier seemed to perish with him. But the turmoil, which would mark the rest of the 60s decade, had only just begun.
Where were you on that fateful day? This is probably the fourth or fifth time that I have done a similar broadcast to this. This is entitled The Day America Died. And in many respects, I believe wholeheartedly, in fact, that is the truth. America, in fact, did die on that fateful day. It was no longer the America that so many of us had grown up with and knew. Each one of us have memories of one type or another of that particular day. That was the year that was, as I mentioned, the day that America died. My grandfather had sold the property in Wisconsin that had been the place of all my best childhood memories, the place of my birth, the farm. He and my great-grandmother moved into the estate in Lake Forest called Centaurs, the place of his boyhood dreams. I was devastated, but I would return to the farm many times in the coming years because I could go home again. I bought my first car that year, my great-grandmother's car, a 1932 Chevrolet five-window coupe. My brother Mark was born. The Beatles wouldn't come along for about a year. The big songs that year on the charts were Sugar Shack by Jimmy Gilmer and the Firebirds, Surfin' USA by the Beach Boys, Fingertips Part 2. You know, there never was a Part 1 by some new kid called Little Stevie Wonder, and the prophetic End of the World by Skeeter Davis. Little did any of us know. In sports, the Los Angeles Dodgers defeated the Yankees in the World Series. Quite a novel concept, wouldn't you think? And Bob Cousy and the Boston Celtics won the NBA title that year. Who says white guys can't jump? All the movies, at the movies we were scared of Hitchcock's The Birds. Tried to get in to see a Cleopatra just because of all the dirty publicity we had heard. We thrilled to Steve McQueen and James Garner in The Great Escape. Sidney Poitier would win the Oscar for Best Actor that year, first time that a colored man had been so honored. And the movie Tom Jones would win Best Picture that year. The Feminine Mystique by Betty Friedan was on the bestseller list, along with a book by an obscure young author named Vonnegut. A copy of TV Guide was 15 cents. A new Chevy could be had for under $2,000. A new house for about $22.5. Gasoline was about 23 cents. Half gallon of milk wasn't much more. Brand new pair of Levi's cost $5. The year? 1963. I'm 15 years old, a sophomore at Glenbrook High School. There was no north or south that year. Man, life is great. I sub at the school as a freelance photographer. Later, many of my photos would appear in the school yearbook, but I won't be around to see them. I'm on the student council as well as a few teachers, you know what kind of lists. I make the JV track and field team with my friend Jim Heidman, a friendship which has lasted nearly four decades now. Our coach is known as the Eagle because he's as bald as the symbol of this great nation, and he's always got his eyes on you. Well, I'm not a great all-around student, but I got that school spirit, and I'm in love with Sally Oswald, an upperclassman, even though a few years later she'd marry Tom Kennelly because he looked like Sal Mineo. I get the consolation prize because her folks like me better. It's July 7th, Sally's 16th birthday that I first met her family, and her family poodle pees on my lap. Oh, how embarrassing for a kid of that age. Here you are trying to make an impression on her folks, and their dog does its duty on my lap in their living room. And I'll give Sally a dozen yellow roses anyway, and I'll remember her birthday still, 37 years later. That year, for the second year in a row, I sang Handel's Messiah at the village church. Of course, I was just in the choir, you know, and I meet the banker's daughter, Jan Smith. We became great friends, but her uppity old man doesn't like our family, even though we bank with his bank. But she's forbidden to see or speak to me. We remain friends anyway, well, at least until she goes to college. Oh, well. She's 2 years my senior anyway. That year in politics, a sex spy scandal forces the resignation of British War Secretary. While the German Chancellor Adenauer resigned his post, our president took major steps to eliminate the Federal Reserve Banks by signing Executive Order 11.110, which forced the issuance of U.S. banknotes to replace the fraudulent Federal Reserve notes, which the president knew would ultimately bankrupt this nation. Nuclear testing in space, the atmosphere, and underwater are banned by the U.S., Britain, and the Soviet Union. Pope John Paul XXIII dies. Medgar Evers is killed. Richard Nixon was in semi-retirement in California. Ted Kennedy took his lifelong seat in the U.S. Senate that year. And the European Economic Council rejected Britain's application for entry into their exclusive little club. Kenya gained its independence. Martin Luther King gave his now famous I Have a Dream speech. South Vietnam's Diem was assassinated after a coup. Vietnam still meant little to many people in this country. After all, this was someone else's program and someone else's problem. What? A few advisors to assist the South Vietnamese? Sure, I guess that'll be okay. No one realized where the French had tread. We should not have followed. That year, thanks to my grandmother, Catherine Gardner Cole, and a dear family friend, Alice Drinkwater, I read all three of the late Dr. Tom Dooley's books on the region. Both of them had given me copies of the books. Vietnam made the cover of Life magazine three times that year. Barry Goldwater made one appearance on the cover, as did Steve McQueen. Shirley MacLaine, Anne Margaret, Fidel Castro, Nikita Khrushchev, and Yvette Mimieux. Jackie Kennedy made two appearances that year, while her husband made only one. Life magazine did exposés on pork barrel spending in the U.S. Congress and how to reduce your tax bite. That's right. In addition to automation lending itself to loss of jobs in this nation. Abe Lincoln's Gettysburg Address was readdressed while a seven-part series on ancient Greece was completed. And, oh yeah, a new Broadway starlet, Elizabeth Ashley, was on the cover of Life on November 22, 1963. I was in radio even then. A high school DJ who played the rah-rah music before school on Fridays and in between classes. You know, you remember, the marching bands and all. It was football season. We had to pump that school spirit, you know. You know, we had an ill-fated game on for that night, but don't know who we were scheduled to play. Was it New Trier, Lombard? I couldn't tell you, because the game was never played. It was nearly Thanksgiving, but an unusually warm Indian summer had prevailed that year, and at school, it was lunchtime. Andre Kojak, and that was his real name, and I finished eating whatever that stuff was called and walked down into the courtyard at school only to see an unusual sight. A car parked, which was forbidden, and about 200 kids standing around it in total silence. We asked what was going on, and at that moment learned that the president had been shot in Dallas, Texas. 40 minutes later, John Fitzgerald Kennedy was pronounced dead. I will not discuss nor dissect the assassination of our president. I'll not raise the question of the competency of a lone gunman in a book depository versus the conspirators on a grassy knoll, nor who may have been behind what I believe to be a plot or for what purpose. And nor will I discuss the theories of several bullets versus the magic bullet. The questions have all been raised before by many others besides myself. The names have all been mentioned. LBJ, J. Edgar Hoover, Fidel Castro, the mob, the CIA, Hoffa. I'm just a crazed human being. We may all suspect much, but in our lifetime may never know the true answers. I am not Oliver Stone, but a boy grown into a man who will never forget the day America died.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.